This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Here we go for the whole show today. We're going to talk a little World Cup. Team USA gets it done, but at what cost? A little red card action. We'll get into that. I got the dude down the hall in the Yellow Fiber Studios. Also, Kevin Lytle will join me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And today's short show, we'll have top stories of the day. A little bit more on this LeBron James thing for the Nuggets. Is it a good thing? Is it happening? Seems more realistic than this time yesterday. We'll get to it. The whole show starts right now. Gets it done last night over Bosnia-Herzegovina, 2-0, but kind of scary at the end of this thing. But, man, okay, so I got the dude down the hall, Derbs. Derbs is a big soccer guy. I didn't know that really until the World Cup started. And I have gone full tilt on this thing, Derbs. I got to be honest. I was giving you crap 2 or 3 weeks ago saying, guys, I tried. It's just not my thing. And from that point on, I don't really understand it, but I kind of love that I don't understand it. From that point on, I have actually enjoyed every minute of the World Cup.
Some games are great. Some games are not so great. But a lot of these best-on-best tournaments like this, the pace is just a little elevated compared to a lot of the leagues around the world. But yeah, it's been exciting. It's been fun. USA is exciting to watch. They play that up-tempo pace, so there's just a lot of pressure that they apply, and it's an entertaining watch.
Yeah, and you know, I thought for me it would be like, it's a giant field. They're just going to be running up and down the field all the time. There's not a lot to it. 90 minutes goes by pretty darn fast, and when they do get close to that line, toward the goal, things get intense. It's just edge of your seat. So in between, yeah, whatever. But once they get to that spot, it's just like the ultimate adrenaline rush. And then, you know, obviously clear it out, whatever. It just kind of goes back down. Then it eases back up. It's kind of like the crowd chanting, how they chant throughout the game. Slow chants. And then once they get close to scoring, it starts to pick up. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah, once you kind of get used to watching a game or two and you kind of get like the tactical purposes of what they're doing instead of just kind of thinking that they're just passing it around for no reason, just from guy to guy. They're really trying to find holes and guys are running around that you probably can't see on camera. Similar to, like to a football game, you don't always exactly know what the wide receiver's doing and they don't exactly show it all the time, but they're trying to be open all the time. It's the same thing. It's just moving without the ball. And then you get to like the last 10-15 minutes of the match is pure chaos because depending on the situation, but most of them it's pure chaos where it's just goal scoring mode at all times,
or it's intense
on your heels at all times if you're the defenders.
So my wife's sitting there trying to watch it, and she's not a big football fan, and she's not a diehard sports fan, which is weird coming from me, but she will watch and she tries to understand. She enjoys football and stuff, but I'm a diehard basketball guy. So we're watching Team USA the game last night, and she's not into it. And then they get the win, and they're doing the whole John Denver thing. The crowd's chanting. My wife just keeps saying, she's like, why is everyone still in the stands? Mm-hmm. Why is literally no one has left the building? And I'm like, it's some kind of weird, like not weird, but I guess in a good way, culture thing. They stick around. You got the team that just lost is sticking around on the field. And then you got, of course, the players going up to the crowd, chanting and singing. I looked at my wife. I said, I think this is like a tradition worldwide, and we're starting to see that tradition, not at its beginning, but because Team USA's had a team for a while, but this might be one of the better teams for in a long time, and we're starting to see that kind of tradition pick up with the with social media the way it's been the last 20 years. Part of that adds to it as well. There is a different vibe, and if you are like a patriotic type of person, I don't know how you can watch Team USA win and the way things are celebrated at the end of that game and not at least enjoy a little bit of what you're seeing.
Yeah, it's an older European kind of tradition. Like, Wimbledon's going on right now, too. It's after the match you see the competitors, clapping their hands or rackets, saying thank you to the crowd for being here, for the support. They go shake hands. They go, shake hands with the referee. It's the same thing in the football matches is, they're thanking the referees. They're thanking the crowd. And then, on your home soil and things like that, like it's a pure spectacle that everybody just wants to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Every last moment. And I think it's the John Denver thing sticking is cool. Got the coach from Argentina that probably had zero clue of what's going on is now singing the lyrics, blasting it out there. Very cool.
How does a guy from Argentina end up being the head coach of Team USA?
So you can sign anybody from anywhere.
Really?
So the U.S. has had a pretty bad history in all of this, and we're tired of losing. Let's go get a guy that knows what he's doing. This is the guy that knows what he's doing.
I'm like watching him and listening to him the last couple of weeks, and he's a Broncos fan too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of cool. But yeah, seeing him sing the song, it's a celebration. And again, it's one game. But my wife said, why are they acting like this is almost, it's almost like a championship feel. I said, if you can think about how many soccer teams there are in the world that actually could, not that they're good enough, but they would have the ability to get in to even the knockout or the group play, to get into that is tough. But then to make it past that is even more difficult. So to win a game is pretty significant.
Yeah, there's probably, I would say, 250 countries, I think, that are ranked by FIFA somewhere around there. The United States is 15th right now. This is hands down the best team that they've had in, ever. It probably rivals the 94 team. That was the last kind of successful moment that we've seen like this kind of run. But they've been better the last four World Cups. They've reached the knockout stage, won some games. But this team has real hope. We're gonna see a little bit something different against Belgium, with Balogun being out with a red card. That it kind of diminishes it a little bit. But this team's deep, and you haven't been able to say that in years past. It's always been one or two players that have had star careers that play in the Premier League in Europe, and then kind of just surrounded by guys. Now there's a handful to like eight guys that are playing on big time clubs around the world that now they get this experience and they're coming together and they have real talent. So it's fun to watch.
Talk to me a little bit about that red card too, because obviously that's been very controversial. Team USA gets the win. And most of the time you'd say in a sport that we talk about on a regular basis, you'd say, okay, got kicked out of the game, but you still won. Well, he's not. It sounds like he's out too. They're going to review things, maybe, but he's out. That's what the red card indicates too, is not just the current game, but also the next game.
Yep. So suspended for the one game. They can resend an appeal. That sounds like it's pretty unlikely because they went through the whole review process during the game. Typically, red cards come like with scoring attempts, where a guy is on a breakaway and, you kick out their legs just to try to save a goal and those kind of things. This one's a little bit different because it pretty much caused an extreme injury.
Yeah.
Even though they were tangled up together, when you slow it down, just the replays look bad. I don't think it's a red card because there was no ever danger of Bosnia really on the break or anything like that. It's two guys tangled together. It's pretty uncommon that you see a red card for that. So that's why you see a lot of the controversy of the actual card being placed. But yeah, it's big consequences for that. That's why those card systems are in place, so that the suspensions are real. It's kind of the integrity of the game kind of thing. It'd be like if the NFL were be like, you know what, if you get 3 flags thrown on you, you're out of here. You know, it adds to a suspension for a game. It'd be kind of similar to that, I guess, trying to translate to sports.
Well, so now what does this do for their chances coming up against Belgium, which will be on July 6th, with him assuming, you know, nothing's going to change because they did review everything on, you know, through their process, they reviewed everything. And I think it was more of the result of the play than the actual act, but it is what it is. Odds are he's not going to go. So how do you feel about Team USA going up against Belgium?
So they should match up okay with Belgium. Belgium basically has 2 players that are special. Romelu Lukaku is... I feel like he's been around for 30 years, but he's their major player. I want to say he's probably our age or close to it, Brady. He's a big guy, kind of he plays the scoring role, but he gets tired pretty quickly. So I think with a lot of the pressure that the U.S. can still provide and things, I think it'll still be a very competitive match. Ricardo Pepi is probably going to replace Balogun in that goal-scoring role as the main forward. And then you're going to hope that Christian Pulisic is his legs hold up a little bit better. Right now, he can go about 70 minutes or so full speed. And, you know, we talk, you know, the games are 90 minutes and plus extra time and all that. So it's really important for them to get off to a hot start, because substitutions are probably going to play effect into this, to where some of these guys aren't going to be as effective going down the stretch.
Well, it'll be interesting. In Belgium, what can you say about what they did yesterday? I mean, yeah. My gosh. You and I were paying attention to that one yesterday.
Yeah, crazy ending there. They score twice within a 3-minute span to tie
wild.
It up.
Wild.
And then, yeah, it ended. Algeria really crumbled on that whole pressure at the end of the game.
Yeah, it's why, like, you know, you've said this, like, you know, the game can be going one way, but watch out for that final, especially if a team's up by 2 goals, watch out for that final 10 minutes or so, because the team that's down, they're going to be pressing. The team that's up, you know, they could take advantage of that, whatever. But you just see kind of teams getting outside of what they normally do when they're in those situations where it is a 2-score game.
Yeah, the best way I can describe it is like all the tacticals and game plans that have been put together, you just kind of crumple up and throw them away, and then you're just like, if you're the team that's down, you're fully attacking and everything else goes out the window. You're making passes you probably shouldn't make. You're trying crossing patterns that you probably shouldn't make, just trying to create anything possible. And then if you're the defending team, you're on the other side. You are constantly on your heels, not used to that constant pressure,
right.
Just trying to clear it and go the other way. So it really, you throw out basically everything that you've done depending on those situations like that.
We got Spain and Austria coming up at 1:00. That's the next one here. We're officially in the round of 16.
Yep.
Wow. So we're whittling it down here. This has been a lot of fun, man.
If they can win against Belgium, you won't see a bigger matchup than probably meeting some big time teams then, and then you're really going to see the world's best on display.
And then, you know, you beat Belgium, and then I think, you know, not that it becomes a reality, but it's like, wow, you have a realistic shot here.
Yep, maybe we can do this. And that's the do you believe in miracles kind of things kind of creeping,
man.
Just a little bit.
I got emotional just watching. I mean, I'm not necessarily the singy song guy. And, you know, Tanner and Brian asked me what my favorite patriotic song was the other day. I don't have a real answer. I'm patriotic, but I'm kind of a quiet patriotic type of person. But watching that last night, the way they won, seeing the players, because we watch a lot of professional sports, and I've never seen that. I've seen Joker in a post game standing at courtside, and the crowd is you know, they've already dispersed, and he's saying, "I love you, Denver," and you get a few people. I've never seen anything like that, and that's what's beautiful about it.
Yeah, but I'm the same way on the patriotic kind of thing. Like, after the game ended, most of the time, I would say even like 95% of the time, I flip it to another channel.
Yeah, I did.
Like, because sometimes I'll stick around for post game and those things, but most of the time I'm like the normal crowd that just moves on with my day.
Mm-hmm.
I sat and watched that for a half an hour, and even in the post game, like the guys commentary and on the set, they just turn the mics off.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just like listen.
Yeah, just listen.
You know, the crowds are doing chants and they're singing and everybody, like, that's what I think of America should be. Like, come together, have a great time. There's people all across this country that are backing this and celebrating, and there's viewing parties and all of these things that are so cool.
All over the country, there's viewing parties, and they're packed, and you're hearing the team, the USA chants. That's our thing. You know, it's always been our thing, but using it in soccer the way they do with the rest of these sports. And again, this comes from a guy that didn't watch a lick of soccer. I honestly don't know how many minutes I've actually watched of a soccer game before this, but seeing the World Cup, it's something special, man. So, hey, thanks, Derbs.
Because absolutely.
If it wasn't for you kind of talking about this more, I don't think I would even be paying much attention to it. And I know some of our listeners could care less, whatever, but it's July 2nd.
Yeah.
And we're not going to talk about the beard's over. The Rockies maybe someday could be good, but they're not right now. So this is where we go. That or LeBron James.
It's World Cup 1A. Hot dog eating contest 1B.
That's tomorrow. That's the big one tomorrow, yep. Derbs.
We had their moment yesterday. Got yours tomorrow.
You and Tanner are going to be broadcasting this thing at Big City Roadhouse tomorrow. I've never done anything like this before, so I'm just excited. My goal is to beat Brian and then just see what happens.
I'm just excited to be a part of it.
Well, yeah, you're the dude down the hall. You're part of everything. You just kind of happen to be a part of things.
Just lingering around a little bit and you see where it goes.
Yeah, you're seriously, I think, part of the from the Half-Baked movie, the dude on the couch. Just wakes
just
up
always
and he's
there.
In the middle of the scheme. All right, Derbs, my friend, we'll let you go, and we'll look to catch up with you later.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right, 21 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle will join us at the bottom of the hour. Also, LeBron James. Is he Ray Bjork? Is he Peyton Manning? Is he going to be one of those great legendary players that finishes his career in Denver? And I have mixed feelings about it. I really do. But we'll get into it. Keep it on the whole show. Live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. We'll be right back.
The summer months can be busy.
I'm busy!
Keep up with the latest in local news, sports, and weather on Good Morning NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Is the LeBron James coming to Denver a reality? And today at 11:26 feels a lot differently than it did yesterday at 11:26. And people are asking, like, why did I say no? Why do I just keep retweeting things that say LeBron's coming to Denver and saying no? I'm not necessarily saying no. If he's willing to do it for $3 million, I think you'd be an idiot to not bring LeBron James, who's still a very, very, very good player, to your team if he's just willing to do it for $3 million. Outside of that, I don't see this being the move. You tell me that insert LeBron James to this lineup today and you're winning a championship. Did LeBron, I know Luka was out and hurt and stuff, but I don't know that the Lakers ever felt like an overwhelming favorite at all to win a championship when Luka and LeBron were paired up. I'm curious by it. I'm not like 100% just opposed to it, but I can put my personal things aside. LeBron James drives me insane. When I watch him play, if he just plays, it's fine. It's fine. He's a great player. Maybe one of the, maybe the greatest, depending on who you talk to. But I think, yes, there's a flopping element to it. It's no different than Joker. Joker flops too. The difference is what drives me insane about LeBron James is it's so dramatic. It's always so dramatic. Case in point, already hearing rumors and legitimate rumors that wherever he ends up going, he's going to hire a TV documentary crew. They're going to be filming a documentary during his last season. So everything, and again, I know Jordan did that. Jordan had the cameras and stuff, and they ended up using it years and years and years later, but they accumulated so much footage. It was never like a predetermined, we're going to make a show about this someday. They just had cameras were all over Jordan. So they obviously had footage that they spent time collecting over the years. So it's that kind of thing. LeBron James is still very much the, I have to have a show on ESPN to announce where I'm going in free agency. And I that from that point, I was kind of out on LeBron. He became kind of a villain for me to root against. Now, there's a lot of times where, I mean, I remember when he got knocked down in Denver. Someone like, he was going for basketball, falls over, falls into the crowd, front row, and there was a drink that was spilled on him. And I remember somebody, like, a woman in the front handed him, like, she had a little, one of the towels you get at the games to wave around. She handed it to him. And I just remember LeBron, like, it was kind of a funny moment because he looked up shocked that a Nuggets fan would give him a towel. And he was like, thank you. Like, really shocked the way he did it. There's times where I've seen LeBron and I'm kind of like, why do I not like that guy? I don't understand. And then I see it. He gets fouled, falls down, and his eyes glance over to the camera, and then it's, oh man, I'm so hurt, I'm so hurt. And then he gets up and he's fine. It does, there's a lot of the World Cup element to that. You see a dude looks like he just is about to die, and then short, you know, a minute later or so, he's raring to go. So like Faith says, LeBron is the OF, the original flopper. And maybe so. Yeah, you're probably right. Guys like Shea have perfected it. Like, flopping used to just be a minor annoyance to me. Flopping now is an epidemic, is something that absolutely needs to be addressed. So the question, if you get LeBron James on the minimum, and that's like $3 million, I do think it'd be silly to say no. I mean, you're not a big LeBron guy, but you still know he's like top 10 in the league. You can get a top 10 player for 1 year for $3 million. Even my brain has to connect that and say, you're getting him for virtually nothing. And he's not a bad guy. He's not a bad locker room person. Some would say, you know, Russell Westbrook might argue, but he's not a bad person. So you don't have to worry about him. Like Ja Morant going to Portland, those fans are seriously going, yeah, how long, when's he going to get suspended? LeBron's not that kind of guy. Could he offset the dynamic that Joker has created with Denver? They're very low-key in Denver. This would be anything but. This is the reason I've said Joker's not going to go play for the Lakers or the Knicks ever, because he likes to have a minor media presence like Denver is, comparatively to the New Yorks and the Los Angeles. You bring LeBron in, you bring the New York and L.A. to Denver.
Yeah, finally ESPN will go, hmm.
Yes. Yeah, and I don't know that I'm in it. I don't know that I like that.
Well, when it's the NFL, like, I like that. The NFL's great. They cover teams equally if they're good.
Yeah, I get it.
If the Browns get good, they'll cover it. In ESPN, they just only care about
They've cared about LeBron, cities, but LeBron in particular for a long time. We'll get more of that coming up. It's a short show today. We're only on for another hour. We got Kevin Lytle of the Coloradoan coming up. His thoughts on the Colorado State Rams. They are officially in the Pac-12. He sat down with Athletic Director John Weber, and John Weber says, hey, we are a power school. We are a power school. So we'll get to that coming up next. Keep it here on the whole show. First, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Kevin Lytle joining us now on the First Advantage Hotline. Kevin, of course, with the Coloradoan, our CSU Rams insider. Also, if you want to know anything World Cup, Kevin's got you covered there too, man. Kevin, I'm all in, bro. I'm all in. Every game is more exciting than the last. I don't know how much of a fan I'll be after the World Cup, but maybe when you're talking soccer with me when we do Rams Weekly, I might chime in a little bit.
Yeah, hey, we've got you. Love it.
It's fun, man. It's good. Go Team USA. What a game last night. Kevin, couple of big statements this week that we caught, and you had a conversation with John Weber. I want to get to that, too. Him saying, we are a power school. It's what we are. That has certainly a debate going on right now. I always love it. But one of Colorado State's favorite sons, Trey McBride, kind of goes on Bussin' with the Boys podcast. I didn't watch the whole thing. I just saw the clip. And I think people like us, people that follow CSU go, okay, that was with the old regime, whatever. But unfortunately, I think that hurts CSU a little bit nationally. Who knows how long that stands. But how did you feel about Trey McBride kind of in a fun way, sort of putting CSU on blast, talking about his trophy, his tight end trophy he won a couple of years ago?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting and random. Obviously, that's what, four or five years old now?
Right.
Yeah, that he won that, not the clip. So, I don't know, kind of a few different ways. Like, one, it's ludicrous, frankly, for me in the first place, that you have to pay, the school has to pay to have a trophy. Like, if a guy wins it, why does the school not also get one? That seems weird to me. Two, yeah, it's not a great look to kind of ask him to, you know, either for his trophy or maybe for some money to help with it. Three, I don't know, mildly petty from Trey McBride to kind of make a punchline when, you know, certainly things weren't always great at CSU, but he also became a first-round pick at CSU.
And, yeah,
you know, is now a star, or second-round pick, I guess, is now a star. So all of it, just kind of weird, you know, silly, I guess, is my main thing. Like, I don't think it matters, really. All the people, you know, that maybe were involved in that conversation are gone. So, you know, it's one of those, I think, yeah, you know, it makes for some easy teasing from, you know, non-CSU fans for a couple days, and everyone will forget it. It'll randomly pop up, you know, probably once during the year, you know, when people want to make fun, but just kind of a weird thing, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, there's going to be those that hate CSU, that anytime a Rams player wins an award, that's going to be a thing, but not, you know, it's not something that's devastating, but... You, and one thing you said, I didn't even think about this, is it is odd. If the player wins it, he should get a trophy. The school should also get that trophy. I agree with you, actually. I didn't think about this yesterday. I don't think anyone should be paying for that trophy. If you win it, you should get two, one to display. And so, Kevin, you know this. Is there a replica trophy in the trophy case at CSU?
Yep. Okay. Yep, there is. So one way or another, I figured out. I do remember at the time, you know, hearing from folks at CSU, kind of that of like, wow, like how absurd is it that we have to pay this much money for a replica, you know, that, you know, obviously, yeah, Trey McBride won it, but obviously, you know, it's in some ways a school award. So obviously, I don't know how to be honest, but they figured out the money. So yeah, there is a replica, and that's the way it should be too. It would be, honestly, I think that'd be worse if there was nothing on display, but it's there. So, all's well, and you know, I think it's probably also worth noting Trey McBride was on campus in spring ball. He was out of practice talking to Jim Moore. It's not like, you know, he's blocked CSU or anything like that. So it doesn't appear there's that, you know, a relationship problem. It's just a weird thing that happened. You know,
yeah.
That was a weird year too. I mean, he won that award despite being on a horrendous Steve Adazio team.
Well, and
so just everything around it, kind of weird.
And Kevin, you've been around and closer to this program and studied the history of this program a lot more than I have. But that was kind of one of the darkest times in CSU history, even though Trey McBride is doing Trey McBride things. But that was a really difficult time, the during and the fallout after the Adazio era.
Yeah, definitely. That was, yeah, not a good time for Colorado State football. Him and his play was kind of the one bright spot for really several years there. So it's kind of funny how it all ends up. But that was like the one positive CSU could could throw out all year long, and they certainly did, and they promoted him. I mean, I think it's fair to say Trey McBride obviously is awesome, but CSU's PR team did some pretty incredible work to sway some voters, because it's, we know how these awards go. They tend to go to winners. So to convince voters he was the best despite being on a G5 team that lost a bunch of games, CSU did some pretty phenomenal PR work on that.
Yeah.
It was actually interesting watching, and they create a lot of stats. I know Kyle Neves, you know, formerly in that department, did a lot of work on that. Of, you know, all these other contenders are basically receivers. They just line up on the outside and run routes. Trey McBride, you know, I don't know the percentages and numbers now off the top of my head, but he was a true inline tight end. He would block, he would do all that. And they made a really serious push to make sure to educate voters that he was, you know, kind of a true tight end, not just a receiver. So all of that was very, very interesting.
Yeah, I was. There was that part of my brain, too, that was kind of bummed that, you know, I'm not saying Trey shouldn't, you know, tell stories and talk about his stuff. That's his thing. But yeah. It did kind of, you know, it kind of felt like a little jab, you know, like, man, CSU's receiving strays out of nowhere for, I mean, I guess somewhat of a small reason, but it was not a great look. Like you said, it'll probably fade away. But I'll never forget Kevin talking to Trey years ago, and I'm interviewing him, asking him, like, what's your favorite thing, man? Is it catching a touchdown pass? Is it going over the middle? Is it blocking a guy? And he's like, dude, my favorite thing, when I see a guy lined up and I'm in blocking mode, is to drive that person across the field. And, like, that was it. It was blocking, is what he said.
Yeah, he absolutely had that kind of FU mindset, especially when it came to, head-to-head competition like that.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado. And, all right, you even noted this. You said it's not quite the Cignetti, I win, Google me quote, but John Weber throwing down his own kind of microphone saying, we are a power school, it's what we are, in your conversation with him. First off, I want him to believe that because I want to believe that. How did you view that?
Yeah, I mean, that is what struck me the most. Not so much the statement itself, because people in, you know, leadership positions are supposed to pump up, you know, their place. That makes sense. But it was just in such stark contrast. I don't always want to make it a, you know, Weber versus Parker thing, but how many times did we hear Joe Parker say, you know, kind of like I wrote, not the literal words, but the message he sent was sort of a, well, what can you do? You know, we're CSU, what can you do? And it was really deflating the fans, and he said it a lot in a lot of different venues, and it frustrated a lot of people. So for John to so strongly, you know, kind of talk up CSU, I thought was significant. I mean, he, you know, we were obviously on the record. He knew that anything he would say, you know, could or would be, you know, shared publicly. So it's not like, you know, a surprise or anything. He's not shy to share his belief in CSU. And, you know, he kind of said, you know, look at everything, you know, beyond just athletics, you know, enrollment, alumni, R1 research, you know, academic standing, all that. He said, if you compare us to everyone in the Big 12, we're right in the middle of all that. And that's always been the case in a lot of ways from the kind of school program side. But, yeah, just saying it publicly, I think, doesn't mean anything. You know, the Big 12 doesn't see that and go, oh, well, golly, we better add them in right now. But I think it is a message to the fan base of, hey, we have ambition. We believe in ourselves. And you know, for a long time, CSU didn't act like that.
I think it's great, and I know you're getting it on your comment stuff. People are like, "Oh, what? This is delusion." I don't want him to ho hum. I don't want him. I don't want you to get into a conversation with him, and when that comes up, I don't want him to say, "No, maybe we are." No, I want you to believe that because I know it sounds cliche, but the first step is believing. If you don't think that you could ever get to that point, then you would have never put that stadium out there.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, of course, when I share that, we all know how social media is. Obviously, it was a given that Wyoming fans would jump in and go, excuse me, oh my gosh, what a joke. But broadly, like you say, for any, whether it's your, you know, the school you support, a pro team you support, do you ever want leadership to say, you know, we probably just can't really do any better than this. This is probably it. Like, you want ambition. So I think, Like I say, I don't think there's any CSU fan that would see that and be, you know, bummed or frustrated or anything. Like, I think, and that's who, you know, I don't think John Weber really cares what Wyoming fans on Twitter say about his statement. So if you're a CSU fan, I think it's a nice breath of fresh air to publicly speak of ambition, because Joe Parker, I mean, he tried and wanted to do something. It's not like he had no ambition. But, man, the public message was sure never one of ambition.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about what Trey McBride getting on a podcast can do, like, for public consumption there. And when your athletic director might have all those ambitions but doesn't really air it out like that, it does leave us kind of wondering, you know, what are your goals? How big can this thing get? So I thought it was refreshing, honestly.
Yeah, no, I think so. And, you know, there's some fair points and some question marks, like, overall, athletics for CSU are going pretty well. You know, both basketball programs have been good. Volleyball tends to be good. Track, obviously, is a powerhouse. So all that's true. Attendance numbers have been good. That's true. The, you know, like I wrote, the big but is football, and they know that. They're aware of that. They kind of likewise haven't been shy about saying we need to get football going from the CSU perspective. And so you can see, if you're them, if you get football going, and, you know, there's reason to believe Jim Mora would do that, that overall the program's in a pretty good spot. So you can understand why they might be kind of bullish. And obviously this is all happening as they move into the Pac-12. So what better time to, you know, kind of try and flex than when you're getting a fresh start?
I'm excited for it. I was talking about this yesterday. Even if CSU was not involved, this reemergence of the Pac-12 is very interesting to me, even without CSU. But of course, having Colorado State involved, this is going to be a fascinating story, Kevin, one way or the other. And of course, I'm sure we're all rooting for this to work out. So this first season with the new Pac-12 is going to be really fun.
Yeah, it's really intriguing. Like you say, just as a sports fan, it's a very fascinating watch, because it's an old league in name. Obviously, the name is historic, but it's new, and obviously a lot of the membership and what they're doing, and they're operating in some ways pretty differently than a lot of leagues, and it's pretty fascinating to see if they're, you know, are they going to be on the right trend of the curve? Are they ahead of things? You know, we'll see. It's fascinating.
All right, Kevin, appreciate you, man. Hey, we'll let you get back at it. I know you got football to watch, and I think I'll be joining you later this afternoon.
Absolutely. It makes for a great summer day.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado, and he says, I think it's a message to the fan base that we should have big ambitions. That's Kevin Lytle discussing John Weber saying, we are a power school. It's what we are. 11:50 the time. We'll take a quick break, wrap up hour number one. Top stories of the day coming up, more on the LeBron James saga. It's around Denver. Maybe get used to it. I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Did you know you can hear your favorite KFKA shows anytime? Find podcasts of Good Morning NoCo, Coach Speak, and The Hull Show on Apple, Spotify, or 1310KFKA.com.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310KFKA.
Welcome back in. Faith texting in on the trophy thing, on the Mackey. Is it the Mackey? Is that what it is? The tight end award? Am I right?
It's John Mackey?
John Mackey. Yeah, there we go. Faith's like, and what is this trophy made of that it costs $15,000? That's true. I did think of that.
It is made of vibranium, which comes directly from Wakanda.
Okay. Really? You had to get it in.
Yeah, I could have said it was made out of dilithium crystals, which it gets from a warp engine in Star Trek.
We almost went the whole hour without hearing one of your nonsensical nerdery terms.
Look, the things that I do are great. Everything that I do is awesome, and somebody knows it.
I'm glad you know that. That might be the somebody you're talking about. Coming up next, we got top stories of the day. The Nuggets did make a move. They made a move. Is that the only move? Or is all the quiet surrounding the Nuggets just leading us more and more to believe that LeBron James will be a Denver Nugget in the 26-27 season? Top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.